Today on More to Life, power outage. Feeling stuck or powerless as you attempt to overcome a challenge in your life or relationships? Trying to help someone you care about who's stuck? We'll help you find those next steps forward. 877-573-7825.
All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, power outage. Are there ever times where you're feeling maybe a little powerless or stuck when you're trying to handle a problem or challenge in your life or relationships? Or for that matter, maybe someone you care about, your child, your spouse, a friend or family member, is stuck in some way and you're not sure how to help them? Well, either way, we want to help you find those next steps forward to getting unstuck and finding the solutions that you are seeking. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
It is really rough when you're feeling like you don't have the ability to shift something in your life that you want to shift. When you feel sort of or completely powerless to change something. And I think that sort of on a large human level, these days have left a lot of people feeling that way. You know, there's so much going on that is so far beyond our own personal realm that it gives us this sense sometimes that we can't even affect change in our own lives. So if you're being bombarded, I talked to somebody yesterday who said, I'm finally doing it, I'm getting off of all social media because I can't take the way it makes me feel to see everybody, you know, disagreeing and all the bad stuff that's going on in the world. And it's making me feel, this man said, like I can't affect anything. And he began to realize that even in his relationship with his child, his relationship with his spouse, it was overflowing into his life in a way that was making him feel like he couldn't do very much to make anybody happy or to improve his life. Sometimes it comes to us from the outside. Sometimes it comes to us from really trying to work on a family relationship or a friendship or a job, and you just feel like you're beating your head against the wall or you're not making progress as quickly as you like. And it can snowball into anxiety, into depression, into frustration, into anger. It's a feeling, this powerlessness, this power outage in our lives, that can affect us in so many ways and affect those that we're sharing our life with. So we're really inviting you today to give us a call on More to Life and let us connect you with some new steps that you can take to move forward and more of God's grace in your life right here on EWTN so that you can feel like, hey, the lights are coming on a little bit. I have some power to do some things here. It's going to improve.
877-573-7825 is the number to call. You know, there are lots of times when I initially kind of have that kind of powerless reaction to something, either that I'm facing something in my life that I'm like, I'm not sure what to do about that, or even honestly when a client in the pastoral counseling practice brings up an issue and my initial reaction might be, gosh, what do we do about this, right? But it's all about the mindset, and so I find that when I step back from that initial reaction and I'm able to pray about it, you know, and really reflect and say, okay, Lord, you know, what do you want to make of this? That's when new ideas start coming to me. That's when new ways forward start happening. You know, it's all about that first step of not allowing ourselves to be defined by our limitations or the perceived limitations of the situation. And we'll talk more about that. But, you know, that's why even though you might say, you know, superficially, well, this topic kind of covers a lot of ground. I mean, don't you have to have different solutions for different problems? Well, yeah, you do.
And that's why people should call, so we can tailor it to their own situation.
Well, exactly. But there is sort of a foundational mindset that helps us respond better to every problem, no matter what it is. And that starts by recognizing that because of God's grace, I'm never powerless. There's always something that I can do. And if I can step back and reflect prayerfully on that situation in light of that reality, suddenly things start opening up to me. Now, that's really easy to say, but it's another thing to actually live it out. So give us a call. Are you feeling that a challenge in your life or relationships is leaving you a little bit stuck, powerless, or at least just not sure what to do about it? You know, maybe you're not sure what to begin to do or say. You know, there's this problem that's been there, and you're like, well, what do I do this, right? Maybe the things you've tried haven't been working, or seem at least to have made the situation even worse. Maybe you're feeling tempted to settle, or just accept that this is just the way it is. Or for that matter, maybe it's somebody you care about. You know, it's your kid who's dealing with a difficult situation in their social group or in school or in life. Maybe it's, you know, somebody that you care about, your parent, your spouse, a family member, a friend. Regardless of the situation, whether you feel stuck or someone you care about is, let's talk it out and help you discern what's possible through God's grace and identify those next grace-filled steps you can take to cooperate with God's will. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We're helping you cultivate a solution-focused mindset toward all those problems you're facing in your life or relationships on our show today titled Power Outage. If you're feeling stuck or powerless, let us help you reclaim the power that comes from living in God's grace. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And you might be wondering, well, what is that? And more importantly, how could it possibly help me get unstuck in the face of the different challenges I'm experiencing in my life or relationships? Well, I'm glad you asked. So St. John Paul gave a series of reflections that showed how we could discern God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships.
St. John Paul II's theology of the body actually offers profound insights to help us approach life's challenges with renewed vision and renewed hope. When we feel powerless or overwhelmed, oh, it is so easy to allow ourselves to be defined by what we perceive as either our own limitations or the limitations of that situation. But reflecting on the theology of the body's concepts of original man and eschatological man, we're reminded of our deeper identity and destiny, which can radically reframe the way we approach our struggles. But we, of course, have to define.
Yeah, well, so there's some pretty big words you just threw around there.
Let's
unpack that. Okay, so what St. John Paul called original man refers to humanity as created by God before the fall, innocent, whole, and in perfect communion with God, with others, and creation. By prayerfully reflecting on that original state that we were created to live in, we can reject the lie that we're defined by failure or anxiety or sin. Now, that second thing you said, eschatological man, another mouthful, on the other hand, it refers to who we're destined to become in the fullness of God's plan, in perfect union with him in the resurrection. You know, so that vision lifts our eyes from the burden of the present to the hope of what's possible through God's grace. It reminds us that our current circumstances aren't the end of the story. Together, these insights encourage us to live not as victims of circumstance, but as persons destined for greatness in Christ. So even when we feel stuck, God's grace opens a path forward, restoring our dignity, renewing our strength, and revealing what's possible. So let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Power Outage, as we talk about those times when we, or even those we love, feel stuck or powerless in the face of a particular challenge they're encountering in their life or relationships, we want to help you find those next steps forward. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. All right, let's take our concerns to the Lord. Well, let's start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you and we bring those situations that we face where we feel stuck and confused about what to do or what to say, especially those situations where we've tried to do things and our efforts haven't worked or have even made things worse. It's tempting, Lord, to just settle and say, well, I guess there's nothing I can do about this. But you remind us through your servant St. John Paul that it's our job in every situation to work for the ultimate good of the person that we're with, with ourselves, for the relationship that we're in. And we ask you now to help us to understand what that means, so that even when we see our own limitations or the perceived limitations of the situation, we can cooperate with your grace to do that mission, to fulfill that work of working for the ultimate good of that person, of ourselves, and the relationships that we're in. Help us to find ways forward that glorify you, help us be our best selves, and invite those around us to be their best as well, so that we can build your kingdom, even in the face of these challenges where we feel stuck without you. And we ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Power Outage, as we talk about those times when we feel a little stuck, or maybe even powerless, in the face of a challenge we're experiencing in our life or relationships, or for that matter, if someone we care about is feeling stuck and we're not sure how to help them. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. Let us help you find the next steps forward.
Let's talk now with Sarah, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Idaho.
Hi, Sarah. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Oh, I'm sorry. Iowa. It's Iowa.
Yeah. Hi, Sarah. Mm-hmm. What's up?
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hi. I'm doing good. How are you?
We're great today. How can we help you out?
Well, I'm certainly feeling stuck and powerless. I have a son. He's 17. He likes to make his own rules. He likes things going his way, and if they're not going his way, he is the type that will put up a fight.
Give me an example. Give me just one example of what that means.
Well, the major issue that we're dealing with now is that he doesn't like the school that he's attending, and he wants to go to another school where there's not as much structure, but all his friends are going to the school, so he wants to be there, so he thinks, you know, he can make that decision for himself.
Now, he's 17, so what grade is he in at this point?
He just finished his junior year, so he's going in, but this has been a fight, his whole high school career. So anyhow, I don't want to just give in to him, but I also want him to be happy. That's not really even the biggest issue. The big issue is that he wasn't following rules, and my husband has since.
Well, like what? That's what I was asking you. When you say he likes to make his own rules, like about what? What are we talking about?
So we've asked him not to have friends over, you know, on the weekends, late into the evening, and we have found them drinking and doing things that they're not supposed to be doing, and we warned him, you know, several times if it doesn't stop that we would have to take, you know, repercussions. So my husband So over the 4th of July, we had a party going on, and he proceeded to invite his friends over when my husband asked him not to, and then it was the same thing. We have a pool in the backyard, and he was partying into the night with all the friends, and sure, there was alcohol involved, and so the following day, my husband said he had to go.
Okay.
So your son, he said your son had to go.
Yes.
He kicked your son out. Where's your son now?
He kicked him out. He's living with a friend right now. As his mom, I just feel stuck. I feel powerless. I'm not sure.
Well, so what? And what was the point of kicking him out? What's the end game here? What's your goal?
Well, he's just tired of him not abiding by the rules.
Okay, so let me step in here. That's your job as parents to figure out how to make happen. That's not your son's failing. That's your responsibility to know to understand how to teach him how to behave appropriately. Your failure to do that does not mean that you kick him out of the house, because then that eliminates any possibility that you have to positively influence him moving forward. I get being angry at a child. I get being frustrated that they're not listening. But we're, as parents, we're the adults, so that means that we have more knowledge and more capacity to respond to the situation than the kid does. So what's happening right now is you're saying, well, I told him what to do, and he didn't do it, so now I'm done with him.
I told him over and over and over again, and we asked him to follow the rules, and he didn't. You've missed a lot of opportunities to set limits and teach along the way. And when he blew it so publicly on the 4th of July, the anger just made your husband say, that's it, I can't do it anymore, let him try to survive on his own.
And the reason I'm being so direct here is because, yes, your son was wrong for doing the things he did. Okay, absolutely, he needs structure, he needs consequences, he needs to be taught, he needs support.
He needs to not be doing illegal things, like drinking underage in a home where he's been told not to drink at all.
Well, but again, you were there. Right. Why did you let that happen? When the kids showed up, if you didn't want the friends there, why didn't you stop and say, I'm sorry, my son isn't allowed to have you guys over today? Like, where were you?
Yeah, I know that we have a teenage daughter, and she went over, this was about a year ago, she went over to a friend's house. We love this family, fantastic family. They were all getting together in the basement to play a game. Everything was great. Another young man walked into this house to join the party, and within a split second, this mother literally smelled that something was very wrong on this kid. He had been smoking weed, and she said, out, out. You're not bringing that into my house. We don't allow that in here. You're out. And the kids didn't rebel against it. They actually were also relieved that the adult had handled it. And so when we miss those opportunities a little bit along the way to set that structure, then we feel really disempowered.
Well, and by just kicking him out of the house, that just basically says, you know, look, I'm done with you, right? It doesn't say get your stuff together. It says, you know, I'm done with you. And so what you really need to do, Sarah, is insist that you and your husband and your son get into some professional family counseling, because you don't have the skills needed to help your son be the man that God created him to be. And that's not his fault. That's your responsibility. And when we don't know how to respond to the challenges that our kids are presenting to us, we have an obligation to God and our kids to get that information and to get those skills.
So you want to say, have this conversation with your husband first, and then with your husband say, we need to get into family counseling, and we need to set the structure and the limits of how he's going to live in this house. And that includes things like, he doesn't have access to a car to go see his drinking friends. He has to do certain things every day, and on and on and on, so that you can put things into place so he has the structure and the teaching to change these things.
Your job in this situation is to be the prophetic woman of God standing up for what's right in this situation, which is we're not giving up on our son, and we're getting the help that we need to know how to be his parent, not throwing him out of the house and just washing our hands. That's completely irresponsible and prideful. And again, I get it. It's you're angry, and your husband's upset. I get all that. That doesn't relieve us of our obligation to our children and to God to be parents to our children. And so I'm being a little rough on you here, but honestly, you need to hear this, that you need to get the skills, and that's what the counseling would be for. Please stand up to your husband, insist that your son come home, and that all of you get the help that you need to know how to handle this appropriately. Thank you for the call. Look, just briefly here, if your kid's teacher said, I told him how to do math, but he just didn't do it, so now I'm done with him, you would burn down that school. You would
furious.
Go with pitchforks and torches, and you'd go after the teacher. We, as parents, yes, we can be frustrated. Yes, we can but we do not ever have the right to just say, I'm done with this kid. When we get to that point, it's our responsibility to learn new skills. We'll be back with your questions at 877-573-7825 after this.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the show is titled Power Outage, as we talk about those times when we feel stuck or powerless in our attempt to face a particular challenge in our life or relationships. For that matter, help someone we care about who seems stuck. 877-573-7825. Let us help you find those next grace-filled steps forward. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Anne, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Maryland.
Hi, Anne. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I'm calling about just feeling stuck in how to help my husband and how to live with my husband. We've been married 18 years, and he is, I think, probably a hoarder and has control issues. He gets really anxious if things aren't done his way, very particularly. And there's several areas of the house that are just, you know, I'm keeping it at bay. Those are the areas of the house that are just a mess. His office, the basement, the garage. It's frustrating to me and the kids.
And when you say a mess, you can't like get through it, or like how big a mess are we talking about when you're describing hoarding?
Well, the office is, I work from home, but I can't work in the office because it's not usable. It's full of stuff, his stuff.
Okay.
Just piled all over, mishmash. Mm-hmm. The half of the garage is completely unusable and the basement's unusable.
Okay.
His closet side is unusable for right. anyone but him. But,
and what have you tried to do to address these things with him?
I've asked him to clean them up, that we need the space. when early on in the marriage, when we were still unpacking into the new house, I thought it's just that he didn't have time to do the office. So I spent a whole day of my day off and went through everything, all the papers, and there was so much like garbage, just envelopes and empty cardboard boxes and anything. I thought I put it all together and I was going to put it in his file cabinet, and his file cabinet is full of bills from the 80s. That it are from his first townhouse. It's my first phone bill. It's my first this. Like, you can't touch it. So I don't like where my future is looking, but I don't know where to go with it because he doesn't.
And when you've tried, and when you've tried to address this more directly with him, you know, and identify this as a serious problem, how does he respond to that?
He just shuts me down. He gets angry and. It just, no discussion we ever have really that I bring up really goes anywhere because he just shuts me down.
All right. So, and we've got 30 seconds till we have to hit our hard break. So I'm going to ask you to stay on over the break. I've got maybe one or two more questions, and then I'll offer some thoughts about how to respond to this. But I want to thank you for the call and let you know that there are ways forward with this. It's going to require you to kind of take more of a forceful position because he's struggling with a real mental illness.
And a more broken down, helpful position. So we'll talk about all of that when we come back from the break. So hang in with us, Anne.
Thank you, Anne. And we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Our show is titled Power Outage, as we talk about those times when we feel a little stuck or powerless as we attempt to address some challenge in our life or relationships, or support someone we care about who's feeling stuck. 877-573-7825. Back with your calls coming up right after this.
What composes a society? The Catholic Catechism says human beings need to live in society. It is there that we develop our potential. The Catechism defines a society as a group of persons bound together by a principle of unity that goes beyond each one of them. A society endures through time. We owe loyalty to the communities that we are part of which are defined by their purpose. All social institutions, however, ought to have the human person as its principle, subject, and end. The societies of family and of state are necessary to the nature of man. Other societies, such as voluntary associations and institutions, are encouraged for economic, cultural, athletic, and professional reasons. The Church warns against certain types of socialization wherein excessive intervention of the state threatens personal freedom and initiative. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Here's the new challenge. At least 1 hour a week in front of the Blessed Sacrament with the goal of an hour a day in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I had a guy come up to me. He says, Father, you know, I'm doing a lot of things. I'm in a men's fellowship. I pray with my wife every day. I go to Mass every Sunday and usually a couple times during the week. I read Scripture. He goes, I want more. I said, do you pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament? He said, outside of Mass, no. I said, I think that's the more. See, all these saints, these are the ones who surround us. These are the ones who ran before us. These are the ones who fought well, who kept the faith. They would tell you, as would every single saint in heaven right now, you cannot run this race if you don't spend time with the Master. Whatever else we're doing, it's second, third, and fourth. First things need to be first. And the first thing is to be with the Master. And the Master is Jesus.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. When kids misbehave, it's common for parents to ask how they can stop the bad behavior. Usually the answer is some form of punishment. But punishment isn't a silver bullet. Sure, it might stop misbehavior for now, but it's not very effective in the long term. That's because it doesn't help kids heal the harm they've caused, and it doesn't give them the tools they need to handle things differently the next time. St. John Bosco had a better approach to discipline. He viewed discipline as a teaching opportunity, not a control problem. In his approach, parents coach kids through the process of healing the harm their behavior caused. And next, they help kids learn the skills and strategies they need to do better next time. St. Bosco's approach is called discipleship discipline because it treats kids as disciples or learners. It also reminds us of the loving way Jesus taught his own disciples. Discipleship discipline frees parents from being referees, constantly imposing penalties. Instead, parents coach kids through the hard work of improving their game. Discipleship discipline recognizes that parents and kids are really on the same team. To learn more about discipleship discipline, check out our book, Parenting Your Kids with Grace, or visit CatholicHOM.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, the show is titled Power Outage, as we talk about those times when we feel a little stuck or powerless as we attempt to address those challenges in our life or relationships. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Before the break, we were talking with Anne from Baltimore, who was sharing that her husband is a hoarder. He's very particular about things. It's very difficult to have conversations with him about anything, but especially with regard to the hoarding. Anne, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for hanging on.
Yeah. Let me ask you one small question, because I know you're trying to have these conversations. You told him things have to be cleaned up. You've gone in and done things for him that he's gotten upset about. I understand your frustration. This is not just frustrating. It's kind of, you know, scary for you and the kids that you can't make any headway with him. Have you ever, and it probably hasn't worked, but I'm just checking so I can see, you know, where he is on this continuum. Have you ever said, hey, sweetie, you know, tonight, let's set the timer for 15 minutes. We're going to go in and clean out one drawer together in your office. If you said that, I'll do it with you, not go in and do it. We're just going to take one drawer. When the timer goes off, we're done with it. Have you ever tried that more step-by-step companionable way of doing this with him? And if you did he react poorly to it, or did it help?
I have not tried that, because I guess I just didn't think it would work.
Well, so how do you, if you did approach him with that, how do you think he would respond?
I think he'd just blow me off. He wouldn't want the help.
He may.
Like, I'll do it.
And then if he does that, that's a different story. But I would suggest, just for the sake, and we'll talk about what to do if he doesn't agree with that. But it's worth trying, because when we become totally overwhelmed with something, the way he's probably overwhelmed with all the stuff, as you are, your brain shuts down. You can't really think about how to do it little by little. And you feel overwhelmed and ashamed, and it just kind of shuts you down. So it's going to be important to not try to keep going once that timer goes off, because then he'll get flooded again. But try this idea of, you know, 15 minutes a day, take on a little bit with him, and then shut it all off. If he hits a wall with that, then there are other steps you need to take.
One other question, Anne. When you mentioned in passing that when you try to have any conversation with him, that he tends to shut it down. Did you mean any conversation at all, or did you mean specifically about this?
Anything of consequence.
So any conversation at all, if you guys disagree about it, he just kind of ignores you or shuts you down?
Yes.
Okay. That that's what I was concerned about. So you're not going to be able to have him be a partner in this. I mean, I think you can go ahead and try what Lisa was suggesting. I think it's a good first place to start. My suspicion is that he will shut that down and ignore it. But it's a good place to start. If he does shut that down and ignore you, then what that's going to confirm is that he's struggling with a mental illness. Hoarding, the kind of behavior you're describing, could very well be obsessive-compulsive disorder. There's also a different related issue called obsessive-compulsive personality disorder, which is different. All right, so where obsessive-compulsive disorder, you know, has a person engaging in repetitive behaviors that are ultimately unhealthy for him, but it's a way of dealing with stress. And hoarding is a type of that very often, because very often a person who is a hoarder is afraid to let go of anything because, well, what if I need that? They were often raised in relatively chaotic environments where they didn't feel safe. And so now they have to keep all the stuff around them to feel safe all the time. It's their attempt to try to get control and feel in control of things. But the fact that you described him as very particular about everything and unwilling to talk to you about any matter of consequence suggests that maybe there's a personality issue there as well. And there's something called obsessive-compulsive personality disorder. And even though it has a similar name to obsessive-compulsive disorder, it's different. Obsessive-compulsive personality disorder is when a person believes there's kind of one right way to do everything and it's my way. And they won't brook any disagreement or any challenges to that perception. And in fact, they treat any deviation as an offense, right? And so they kind of are very controlling. They may not be abusive, but they are very controlling, very intense, very demanding about this is the way it has to be. If you're seeing that kind of behavior as well, that's another layer that's going to need to be addressed. So either way, though, if Lisa's suggestion doesn't work, then you are dealing with a more serious mental health problem that you won't be able to address on your own. Now, if he's not willing to get help for that, then I want you and your kids to go and get help to learn how to set the appropriate boundaries and really address this with him. Because where I believe this is going to go is that you're going to have to do what family therapists call an enactment. An enactment is when you do something knowing that it's going to provoke a crisis, but you do it intentionally to shake things up because it needs to be shaken up. So an example would be here where you and the kids say, go in and you clean out his office and you throw out all the stuff, and he loses his mind over that. Right? But that's going to be the crisis that then gets him to be willing to join you and the kids in the counseling that you've been doing to be able to get strong enough to take that positive step forward.
Now, please hear what Greg is saying, Anne. He's not saying you go in and the kids and dump everything now. He's saying you and the kids, if your husband will not work this 15-minute-a-day plan, if you hit that wall and get more evidence that there is a larger mental health problem here, then you and the kids get into therapy to figure out what to do. And you would only do an enactment like that under the helpful watch of that professional that's helping you. You don't want to incite a crisis in your family life or in his mind without having that help in place that you can then invite him to. So please hear clearly, because it's like many listeners are going to hear, well, if you're tired of all the stuff in the house, just go dump it all. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about doing something that will launch him into getting more help if these stepwise things are not working.
You're going to feel bad doing this because, of course, he's not going to be happy about it. He's going to be really upset and he accuse you of being controlling and all kinds of things, right? But when you're dealing with somebody who has potentially a very serious mental illness, you can't expect them to be a partner in addressing these kinds of things. You have to be the one that says, look, this is what's normal and what's healthy, and I love you enough to insist that you live up to what's normal and healthy, right? And that's what's going to have to happen here. You're going to have to create that structure that says, look, this is how we're going to live in this house. And you're going to have to choose whether you want to be a healthy person with me or you're going to love your mental illness more. But working with a professional first with you and the kids to really figure out how best to set these boundaries, and then doing that enactment, which will challenge him and help him recognize that things have to change for his health and for the well-being of his family as well, that's what's going to move things forward. But it's going to have to come down to you being that really strong woman of God, the prophetic woman of God, who's able to stand in the family and say, look, I'm going to stand for what's healthy and what's true and what's right. And you can either be part of that process with me, or it's going to happen without you, but it's going to happen. Because I love you too much to let you keep being this way. And I love our family too much to make us all continue to live this way. Anything else is essentially kind of setting that mental illness on the altar in the family and worshiping it instead of doing what is healthy and right and what God would want us to do.
But again, start with this idea of saying to him, don't ask him, say, hey, tonight we're taking 15 minutes by the timer. We're cleaning out one drawer. That's all. If he loses it on you for that, then you know this next step is important. If he's like, I don't want to do it, but I think we can do this, it'll break it down easier for you, and he actually goes along with it, then you do another 15 minutes the next day on something else, and another 15 minutes the next day. It'll give you more of a sense of, is he just getting flooded himself emotionally by all the buildup of the stuff and he just can't take it on? Or is he really dealing with a mental health crisis that Greg's talking about, and what your next steps would be?
877-573-7825. Our show today is titled Power Outage, as we talk about those times when we feel stuck or powerless as we attempt to overcome various challenges in our life or relationships. If you or someone you care about is feeling a little stuck, give us a call. Let's work it out together at 877-573-7825.
And I want to point something out here because it's come up with both our first caller, Sarah, and our second caller, Anne. It's very difficult, especially for us as women. I'm not saying all women, but especially for us as women, especially if we've become mothers, to ever not want to make people happy. And we have to remember, all of us, every human on the planet, that to truly love someone means to work for their good, not just to always make them happy. So let's break this down to something, you know, very elemental, right? If you have a child and they need to learn how to be potty trained, are they going to be thrilled every time you make them practice that skill till it becomes an every moment occurrence where they can understand it and make it happen? No. They might cry. They might have a temper tantrum. They might, you know, be angry with you. But you're working for their good to teach them the skill that they need to exist in the outside world, rather than say, nope, I'm just going to be in diapers till I'm 110 and mom, you have to change. Like, no, we would never allow our children to get stuck in that place, right? Because we're working for their good. Whether it's our 17-year-old children, our husbands, somebody else in our family who really needs to connect with their better selves, the skills that God has given them, the healing that God wants to give them, and we go to them and we say, hey, we need you to obey this rule, do this thing, get the help you need, and they get mad at us or they seem upset, too many of us back off because we think we're failing because they're not happy. Sometimes we have to be unhappy for a little while so that we can grow. You know, I never want to get out of the bed in the morning. I'm all cozy. I don't have to do anything while I'm there. I'm just like hanging out. But I have to work on myself to get myself up and do those responsible things. My mind can make that shift. This is something I have to do. A lot of people, whether they're minor children, whether they're adults struggling with something, have a hard time with that self-talk of, I'm going to take this next step even though I'm not thrilled about it. As supporters of them, we have to stop worrying about always making them happy as long as what we're doing is working for their ultimate good. Just something to think about today.
877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from 2 Corinthians 12:9.
The Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast most gladly of my weaknesses in order that the power of Christ may be revealed in me.
This is a challenging scripture sometimes because what does it mean for St. Paul to boast in his weaknesses? He's not saying he's proud of his weaknesses. He's saying he's excited to see what God can do with those weaknesses, that he recognizes that his limitations aren't the end of the story. And so when we are facing our own limitations, when we're facing what we perceive to be the limitations of a particular situation, the answer isn't to just accept the situation. The answer is to say, I'm going to give this to God, and I want to ask God to do something with it. And I want to be pleasantly surprised by what he's going to do with me, by working with me and in me and through me. St. Paul's reminding us to do what we're talking about here today on the show. To recognize that we're not defined by those limitations, but that God is with us, giving us his grace so that we can do what seems impossible. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls on our show today titled Power Outage, as we talk about those times when we feel stuck or powerless as we attempt to overcome a challenge in our life or relationships. Give us a call. We'll work it out together. More to Life will continue with your calls after this.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Want to celebrate some amazing anniversaries this year in France? We'll visit Normandy Beach to celebrate our heroic military for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. Also, the 100th anniversary of the canonization of St. Teresa of Lisieux. Join us this October for our Saints and Shrines of France and a visit to the newly renovated Notre Dame Cathedral.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Power Outage, as we talk about those times when we feel stuck or powerless as we attempt to overcome some challenge in our life or relationships. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now to our next caller who's listening to EWTN Radio in Oklahoma on Oklahoma Catholic Radio.
Hi there, listener. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi. I'm listening to your talk today, and the lady that called before, seems like I have a little similar situation with my husband. But for me, it's like he plays video games until late, and I have talked to him about it many times, and it's times where I fight with him, argue with him, or the point, you know, like bubbles just screaming at each other, and I think.
So let me ask you: is the issue that he's playing the games, or are there certain things that he needs to be doing instead of playing games that you can't get him to do?
Well, there is times where he plays until like late 11 or later than that. In that time, I want to go to sleep. And I have talked to him, like, you know, it's just how much you play, because it can be sometimes Sunday.
Is this in the room that you go to sleep in? Is he playing these games in your bedroom?
No. He has a different room right now where my older son used to.
So I'm just trying to clarify what the issue is, because I can appreciate, you know, gaming can be a serious problem, mm-hmm. for a lot of adults who use it as a way of medicating themselves for mm-hmm. you know undiagnosed depression or even anxiety. They use it as a way of escaping from responsibilities they need to do. But you're not saying that. You're saying that you don't like him playing until, you know, later at night. And the only reason you're saying you object to it is because you want to be able to go to bed, but it's not in the bedroom, so I don't really understand what the issue is. So what is it that you're wanting him to do instead?
Well, just maybe come not so late to bed and have a talk, or just turn off everything so we can both get to sleep, because the next day I feel it in my body, and hard time to just get it started.
So okay, so there are two things here. What I'm hearing is he doesn't have any personal time with you because he's just playing games. So you don't have a chance to talk or have any couple time together. Is that what I'm hearing you say is one of the big problems here?
Yes.
Okay.
So another question. When off of this issue for just a second, when you come to him about anything else in the marriage, where you say, hey, I need this or I need to talk about that, is he receptive to you, generally speaking, or does he tend to shut you down there or ignore you with those conversations as well?
I feel like he's been more receptive now that I've been telling him that I feel like he doesn't listen to me or ignores me or shuts me down.
So he's more receptive now?
Yes.
He's made progress on that. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, that's a good step forward.
So how would you, okay, in those conversations, how would you approach this conversation about gaming the way you've approached those other conversations where you feel like he's been receptive and more willing to listen to you? What's different about the way you've talked to him about those things?
Well, he always asks me what you just said, what else I can do if I'm not playing games or watching TV or, being on the phone late. What else you want me to do? And then times I don't know what to say. I mean,
I want to spend time with you. I want to be able to talk. Exactly what you said to us. The two things that I would suggest to you here. First of all, number one, don't just address it whenever he's in the middle of a game. I want you to have a conversation with him at dinner or
once
in the
a
morning
week.
Or when at some point when he's not in the middle of the thing.
Yeah,
we tend to wait until we the middle of the thing to address the thing.
And especially with gaming, if he's playing with other people, that's a real interruption in his online social life. So it's very hard to address it then. But if you even had a talk once a week and said, okay, let's plan the nights that we are going to spend some time together. We're going to go out and get ice cream, or we're going to just stay in house and have some couple time, or whatever those things are. And you put them on the schedule first, or we're going to work on a household project together, whatever those things are. And then say, and these are the nights now that we've put our relationship and our household first, that you're free to get online and game by yourself or with your friends. And then you both know. And if he stays up later and you're asleep in the other room, but you know what he's doing is wholesome, he's not, looking at porn or something, he's playing games that are fine, that's okay. Like, Greg and I are on a totally different time schedule. There are some nights where he stays up very late reading or watching a movie, and I'll go to bed earlier. But there, we kind of know with each other, these are the nights that we're going to be out or we're going to do these things, and these are the nights where we'll both, get the sleep we need on the timetable we need to get it on. It doesn't threaten me to not have him go to sleep at the very same time.
If you were saying that he wasn't receptive to you in any of those other conversations, we'd be offering a very different approach.
Absolutely.
All right, but you're saying that he is receptive to these other discussions when you come to him with a problem or a concern. So what that suggests here is that the way you're approaching this particular problem or concern is different somehow. And what I'm hearing you say about those other things is that, you might not wait until the problem comes up. You actually bring it up ahead of time. So I'm going to ask you to take that first step. At some point when he's not in the middle of gaming, sit down and say, hey, I really miss you. I'd like to get more time with you. Could we put on the schedule time that we could, have a date or just go to bed together or whatever, right? Can we figure out how to get more time as a couple, because I really love you and I really miss you. So when you said, when he challenges you by saying, well, what else would I do besides, game, be with me.
Yeah, and I want you to not take that question as a challenge.
Yeah.
All right? This is a guy who has a competent wife, who is running the household, who's got things going on. He doesn't see anything he needs to do except time to hang out with you, and he probably, is thinking you're exhausted at the end of the day. But if you set a once-a-week meeting, Friday night, Sunday night, whatever it is, and you say, okay, what are we doing every night this week? Let's talk about it. And schedule time for yourself, time to work on household projects together, and then time where both of you can do, you can go take a bubble bath or go out with a girlfriend and he's staying home and video gaming, whatever those things are. Once they're on the schedule, he knows what else there is for him to be doing. And he's not just sitting down saying, hey, I can play my game because nobody wants anything from me tonight. make this much more proactive so you're not having to yell or turn it into a fight. They're
and
just
again,
working together.
If he was not listening to you in other conversations that you were having, if there were other responsibilities that he was shirking because he was gaming, we'd be giving you a very different
very
answer.
Very different.
Right? But what you're describing is really just a failure to communicate effectively around this. So start there. Start there. And if you are still struggling with it, call us back. We'll talk through other steps. Thank you so much for the question. Listeners, if you are feeling stuck and you're looking for graceful ways to overcome that sense of stuckness, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can connect you with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.